It's 8:44, time for Whose Business Is It Anyway? We talk with locally owned and operated businesses, but a lot of times I just find what they're doing interesting, too. And Dr. Peter Adesman joins me, and he is with the Gastroenterology Consultants, GCPC, and you'll find them off Barnett Road across from Asante Rogue Regional. And this is a big deal because I'm 57 years old, and I have never had a colonoscopy, never had anything looking in there. And you were telling me that someone like me or who's never had colon cancer screening, anything like that, that is something to really be concerned about, right?
You are exactly the person we're trying to reach. Now, I can do it in person right here with you, but we'd like to reach everybody out there that's over the age of 50 that has not had any form of colorectal cancer screening.
Okay, what are the stats on something like this?
Well, there are about 140,000 new cases of colon cancer estimated in 2018, which is somewhat of a reduction over the years, because now that we're doing more screening, we actually are reducing colon cancer. But it is still the second most common cause of cancer-related death. Obviously, the most common cancer is breast cancer and prostate cancer.
Sure.
But generally, the death rate from those cancers is much lower, whereas colon cancer affecting men and women almost equally. Colon cancer has a significant death rate.
Why does it have a higher death rate than prostate? I think prostate usually is pretty slow growing, for one thing.
Exactly. The older you are with prostate cancer, the less aggressive it tends to be, as opposed to colon cancer, which has, you know, with about 140,000 new cases, there are expected to be about 40 to 50,000 deaths from colon cancer. If you detect it early, it's curable. And if you detect it late, unfortunately, treatment is limited.
So I know that, having had relatives who have had prostate cancer, that there are enzyme tests that you would be able to take a blood test and going, oh, okay, we're looking at something. It's a little bit high. We need to get this looked at, right? Is there nothing equivalent then when it comes to colon?
There's nothing that's that good yet. We actually have one marker. It's a CEA, but that unfortunately does not occur until late in the disease. So there isn't a blood test yet.
So it really is that you got to sit down and you have to get your GI tract all cleaned out. You take the magnesium. Is it magnesium citrate?
Well, we use a number of different preps. So the same prep isn't great for everybody.
Oh.
Something called SuPrep or Movie Prep, and then there's the Miralax Prep. And so we try to accommodate each person's needs to make it easy for them. But there are lots of options for the key is that any form of colorectal cancer screening is better than no screening at all. And for some people, they go, I just don't want a colonoscopy. And if that's the case, there's a new test out there called Cologuard. And Cologuard is probably the best non-invasive test. It used to be that stool hemocults were all they had. Well, Steve, the problem with stool hemocults, it's neither sensitive nor specific, so you get a lot of false positives, false negatives, and although it's better than nothing, it's not that much better than nothing.
Yeah, well, this is one of those situations where it's kind of sensitive. People don't like the idea of someone taking a tube or a scope and going into certain sensitive areas. I imagine you battle a lot of that as a gastroenterologist.
Yes, and that's a problem. But we have to tell people that it's safe and effective, and it does reduce the rate of colon cancer as well as colon cancer-related deaths. So here, the thing is, if you find a colon cancer, which we don't really want to find a colon cancer, we want to find benign polyps that predispose to cancer and prevent colon cancer. But when we find a colon cancer on screening, the chances of cure rate is about 80 to 90%. When they're asymptomatic, not as a diagnostic procedure, but when you just find it with screening. Whereas if you find it with symptoms late in the disease, the cure rate goes down to about 50 to 60%.
Unfortunately, what are some of these symptoms if it's late in the disease process?
Okay, so you may see rectal bleeding. You may have an iron deficiency anemia where you've been losing a little bit of blood over time and your blood counts go down.
Yeah.
You might have a change in bowel habits. You might end up with smaller stools. You might end up with abdominal pain. But none of these are early signs. They all tend to be late signs.
So the idea is to get checked out here pretty soon. Once again, we're talking with Dr. Peter Adesman, and he's with GCPC. It's a gastroenterology consultants off Barnett Road across from Asante Rogue Regional. GCPCMedford.com is where you can go to find out more about this. Being someone who is not in the medical world, What does a cancerous polyp look like? Do they look different from what it would normally be, a polyp on an intestinal wall somewhere?
Well, there are multiple types of polyps. The ones that we want to remove are the ones that are obviously have the pre-malignant potential. And the interesting thing is we've now detected in the last 10, 15 years a type of polyp that was initially kind of difficult to find and appreciate. In fact, when I was in training in the 80s, we thought these were just hyperplastic polyps that had very little to no malignant potential.
Right.
We now know that these polyps called serrated adenomas, which are a little bit harder to detect, do have malignant potential and are the ones that we want to make sure we get those polyps out because of the risk of cancer.
Does diet affect the ability to either grow or not grow polyps?
Yes, diet has effect. Number one is probably genetic predisposition.
Oh.
If you have a family history of colon cancer, then you are more likely to get it. And a family history is defined as a first-degree relative, mother, father, sister, brother, not an uncle or a cousin or even a grandparent. But that first-degree relative puts you at a higher risk. And a relative that's young is a higher risk than a relative that's old.
All right. So far, just going back to my personal experience, I've not had a screening. I'm 57. No one in my family, close family, has had any. I guess that's good, but that doesn't mean I should be going to sleep, and anybody else should be going to sleep thinking, I'm okay, everything's fine.
Well, I think that would be wrong not to have some form of screening. So the two best right now, the Cologuard and colonoscopy. And the thing that people need to realize that if you choose Cologuard, which is a stool test looking for aberrant DNA, that is abnormal tumor type DNA, mm-hmm. it's done every 3 years. It needs to be followed up. And if you have a positive test, you're no longer a candidate for colorectal cancer screening colonoscopy. You then have a diagnostic test, which unfortunately then goes against your deductible. So many people in our office, they come there mm-hmm. after having a positive Cologuard, and then they think they're eligible for screening colonoscopy.
Nah, then you're going to have to go gut. You're going to have to pay for that then. So what does it, how long does it take? And what is the insurance relationship right now? Because I've been so confused sometimes on what gets covered. I have varicose veins, you know, a genetic predisposition for that. I'm amazed at how many places nobody covers varicose vein treatment, even though it's been a real problem for me personally.
So screening colonoscopy came into being in about 2001 when Medicare approved colorectal cancer screening with colonoscopy. Prior to that, screening was hemocult and flexible sigmoidoscopy. Mm-hmm. Now that colonoscopy came about, the insurers then followed suit. So if you are age 50 and over, you are eligible for colorectal cancer screening with a colonoscopy. If you don't choose an alternative pathway, if they get, for example, stool hemocults and you have an occult positive stool with, you know, some blood in there, now that becomes a diagnostic study.
Got it.
Screening colonoscopy does not go against your deductible.
So the idea that if you're thinking everything's okay, but you just want to make sure, that's the time to go and get the screening because that'll be covered.
Exactly.
And if you're thinking, boy, I've got problems, and then you're going to go through the diagnostic, and then you're on the hook for it.
And in fact, I try to tell primary care doctors, do not do stool hemocults and other tests. Send them in for a colonoscopy. That's the single best test. It's the gold standard, and they're eligible.
All right. Now, you have been doing this how many years?
I've been doing this for 35 years.
35 years? Is there anything you have not seen?
Well, occasionally you see a polyp and you go, well, you know, that's kind of funny looking thing. I've probably seen it before. When you're not sure, just biopsy and let the pathologist help settle this. But we've seen a lot in 35 years.
Okay, how many thousands of these have you done then over 35 years?
Tens of thousands. I couldn't tell you a number. But I think that the key is you want to go to somebody who has expert training. There are a lot of people doing colonoscopies. You have surgeons, primary care physicians. But the ones that have the most intensive training for colorectal cancer detection are gastroenterologists.
This is like anything else, though. You go to the people who do this for the living. This is their main training. And yes, a GP could do it, and there's nothing wrong with a GP per se, but they have their skills and you have your skills.
Right. We spend most of our day doing colorectal cancer screening and other GI procedures. There are now what we call advanced endoscopic techniques that we learn and how to take out larger polyps where you reduce the risk. Because the larger the polyp you take out, the greater the risk of something happening like a perforation.
Yeah, so are you saying that sometimes even during a colonoscopy, you can just snip something out right then?
Yes. In fact, during colonoscopy, you try to remove every polyp that you see there.
Oh, okay. All right. This is what you do. Your marching orders, even if you're not like me, but if you are like me, and I know I am, it's time to maybe look at this. Over 50, few years on me, never been checked out. And yeah, you kind of, I guess the culture kind of makes jokes about this, but it's really no joking matter.
It's no joking matter. And in fact, the recommendation was just changed to age 45 and over. However, it's not yet happening because insurance companies have to then factor in the additional cost before they can make that happen.
All right, very good. So that's the latest from Dr. Peter Adesman from Gastroenterology Consultants, 35 years of experience. And by the way, you do have male examiners and female doctors, so you can be comfortable one way or the other,
indeed,
right?
Indeed, indeed.
Okay. And by the way, this is off Barnett Road across from Asante Road Regional, and you can read up more about this. Talk with your primary, too, about this, too. I'm sure you'll hear good reports. GCPCMedford.com.
All right.
Do you have to get referred from your general practitioner?
No, we'll take patients directly in there without a physician referral.
I'm glad you know that, because that's another question. Sometimes, okay, do I got to go through the gatekeeper? Not in this case, right?
Not in this case.
All right, get checked out and know, and don't be one of those statistics about colorectal cancer deaths. And you're saying 90% cure rate if it's caught in time, right?
80 to 90% cure rate if it's caught with screening rather than with symptoms.
Very good.
So I'm hoping to see you in our office or surgery center.
Yeah, I think the time is coming. I don't think we're going to Facebook Live this, though, okay? If you don't mind.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Thanks a bunch there, doctor.